Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, open our hearts today to your word as we look into it. Send your spirit to teach us, to guide us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for the supernatural word of God that instructs us, that draws us closer to you, and that reveals Christ and increases our love for him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Martin Luther's day, a Dominican monk named Johann Tetzel suddenly appeared in Saxony selling indulgences. He was doing this as a fundraiser to build St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. Indulgences were prepaid gift cards that allowed you to sin without penalty. Their cost depended on the gravity of the sin that you wished to commit. As he went, Tetzel sang this song, "As the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." Luther, of course, saw this as destructive to true Christianity, which proclaims that faith in Christ is the only remedy for deserved punishment. Tetzel was sent out by the Pope. That means he had credentials. He had the papers. Jesus called such a man a tare among the wheat. He looked like a believer, but he was absolutely not a believer in Christ. 500 years after Luther, this error still persists. But it did not originate with Tetzel or the Roman Church. Jude actually issued a classic warning against all such license in the first century. His inspired little book calls us to a life of practical holiness based on the faith that was once and for all delivered or entrusted to the saints, rather than our human works. But how to tell the difference? What is the difference between works that come from a new, washed heart and those that do not? Jude starts this way. "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." The certain men to whom Jude refers were first century cultists called Gnostics, who taught, among other things, that salvation by grace gives believers a license to sin. Jude would have preferred to talk about the blessed salvation we have in common, but he realizes that all believers also have this false teaching in common. If we are going to contend for the faith, we will need to know what the faith actually is. What was true in Jude's day grew into the Roman Catholic Church in Luther's day, and it pervades Christianity on all levels today. Well, let's talk about some characteristics of tares. They appear suddenly, unnoticed, in our midst. No one can say where they come from. They are godless. This is their defining characteristic. Godless here does not mean secular. It does not mean that they don't have religion. It means that they do not have experiential knowledge of God. In other words, they do not know God. They know religion, they know philosophy and even theology, but not God. Religious men are among the most godless men in the world. They are impious and without worship. They convert grace into works salvation. Licentiousness means whatever pleases your human inclinations rather than what God wants and says. Jesus has every right to tell us how to be saved and how to live, for he is Lord and Master, but not to these guys. Jude 1:4 says, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Positions of authority will not protect the godless from judgment. Jesus taught that we could not love him unless we obeyed him. Even angels will not escape accountability. Declaring something alternative, common in our society, will not work with God. God is the sole authority on morality and not any man in any position. In verse 5, Jude goes on to say, "Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once and for all, that the Lord, after saving people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of that great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh and are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire." Such men, the godless, acknowledge no authority but their own. This is what is going on with our leaders in the world today. They totally reject the authority of our laws, and particularly of God, authority to tell us how to live. And in so doing, they defile themselves and others with them, because God's laws are designed to protect us from defilement. Even godly angels don't act independently of God. The godless, both in and outside the church, advocate day and night for what satisfies their own immediate desires. Verse 8 says this, "Yet in the same way these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said instead, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these men revile the things which they do not understand, i.e., godly things, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed." And their sins are recycled from the past. The state of the world is not new. The state of our country right now might be new to us, but it is not new to God. It is the same old sin of centuries past. So don't fret over this like it is something new to God. It may be new to us, but it is not out of God's control. Jude 11 says, "Woe to them, for they have gone after the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Here the scripture cites three sins of the past. The way of Cain goes all the way back to the creation. Like Cain, the godless do what they want rather than what God wants from them. They make up their own morality on the fly and then revile God for not accepting it. They design worship that pleases men, and they do not exalt God as worthy of our praise. And then there's Balaam's error. That was the way of Cain. Balaam's error, like Balaam, they invite God's people to sin by affirming immoral behavior as the norm. I think you can probably figure out what this means on your own. And then there's the rebellion of Korah out in the desert with Moses. Korah and his cohorts refuse to recognize God's leadership, and they try to usurp God-given authority. They have an outward form of godliness, but without substance. In church, they appear just like the other Christians, but they are pretenders. They are actually, according to Jude, clouds without rain, trees without fruit, waves churning up foam, stars with no given direction. Verse 12, "These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted even, wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever." So, wow, what a description. 2,000 years later, we are watching this unfold before our eyes. America's problem, indeed the world's problem, is not political. It is not ecological. It is not even medical. The world is godless. That is its problem. God has dealt with these people before at the flood. Jesus said that these people would come again like a flood and inundate the world in these last days. So don't be discouraged by it. God has this. He has told us to be at peace. The divisions, the hatred, the meanness are all the result of godlessness. Verse 14, Jude goes on, it was also about these men that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the world of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, you ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. Whew. Okay, that's the ungodly. We could call them the tares amongst the wheat. Sometimes they are obvious, other times not so much. So let's talk about the godly for a while. This is not the same as a sinless or pious or super religious person or a morally superior one. Those are not the godly. The godly know God. The ungodly do not know God. Now, if you know God, you know that you are a sinner and that you are saved by grace alone. If you know God, you know that you are weak and dependent on God and that you are prone to wonder, as the hymn writer said, Lord, I feel it. If you know God, you want to please him, and you trust him to have mercy on you and to love you like his own dear child, which you are, even in your brokenness. So let's talk about some of the characteristics of the godly. Verse 20 of Jude says this, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Well, let's go through this list of these few verses. The godly, first of all, build themselves up in the faith. How do they do that? By exposure to Christ. Christ preached through his word strengthens faith. Faith is trust. If you want to build up your faith, you need to hear something that God has promised, the Father or the Son or the Spirit, and decide to trust him rather than what the world or your own heart says. Remember, trust is faith. The godly build themselves up in the faith. The godly pray in the Spirit. That means not rote prayers, now I lay me down to sleep, or vain repetitions, Hail Mary, full of grace, but a Spirit-directed prayer. It does not mean to pray in tongues either, because when someone does that, they do not know what they are praying, and Scripture tells us to petition God, or in other words, bring a list to know what you are praying for. Ephesians 6:18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. The godly keep themselves in God's love. The love of God grows from exposure to the cross and the Christ of the cross through the preaching of it. We love the one who first loved us. 40 days of this or 20 steps to that will not keep you in God's love. Seeing Christ, savoring Christ, trusting Christ will keep you in God's love. Fourthly, the godly wait patiently. The New American Standard says anxiously for the Lord. Anxiously means in an accepting way, receiving and even cherishing what God is doing. The godly wait in an accepting, receiving, and cherishing way to see what the Lord is doing in his world. The godly are letting God work in their lives and in the world. Let him work in the world. He's working in the world. He is Lord and he is King. And only those who know God can actually wait patiently for him. We call them, and Scripture does too, the godly. The godly have mercy on those who are struggling to trust God, and we know many of them. They are not condemning because if you know God, you know that you should be just like them, except for his mercy. The godly try to pull the ungodly to safety. Notice that the godly do not go into the fire to do that. They snatch them out of it. They do it for mercy, and they do it fearfully. That is, trusting that only God can actually do it, even though he is using us. And then finally, the godly hate sin. They do not hate sinners because otherwise they would have to hate themselves and all the brethren. We hate sin because of what it does to men, and we realize that God has shown us mercy. We want to see others shown mercy as well. Well, we, in these few verses, have seen characteristics of the ungodly. We have seen then some wonderful characteristics of the godly. And now Jude is going to end with some characteristics of God himself. This is probably the most delightful doxology in the Scripture. It's found in verses 24 and 25. Let me read it to you before we comment. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. So, these verses describe the characteristics of God. Let me just run through them. I don't want to be in a hurry here. Let me just run through them, though, quickly. God is able to keep us safely with him. He possesses all power. Secondly, God will absolutely bring you into his throne room as a blameless child. And this is because he is full of love. Thirdly, God is intent on giving you great joy. He is abounding with eternal joy. It's part of his character. It's who he is. To be with God is to be in the joy of the Lord. God is the only God. We say that means he is holy or unique. He is the only Savior. He alone atoned for our sins. You can look in vain for any other way to have your sins forgiven and to be reconciled to God, but only God the Son could do it. God is glorious, and that means he is worthy of all praise. The whole universe will praise him. Jesus told the Pharisees that the stones would cry out if they silenced the crowd. The prophets tell us that the trees will shout and clap their hands. All of creation gives glory to their glorious Creator. He is glorious. He is worthy of your praise. Don't neglect to give it to him. He is majestic. He is kingly, in other words. He is fit and worthy of to take the universe's throne. He possesses all power and authority. That means he has all ability and authority to rule his creation. And he does. And finally, he is eternal. He will reign forever and ever. So just a quick summary. The faith, once and for all delivered to the saints, is our trust in Christ alone. You should fight to trust only Christ and his word. This is what it means to contend for the faith once and for all delivered to the faith. Sound doctrine, yes, absolutely, but the faith is Christ. Prayer is humble and seeks to be in the Lord's presence and to embrace his will. Love for Christ is kept alive by beholding Christ's worthiness in Scripture. And finally, waiting on the Lord is trusting God to rule his own creation well. He has this under control. We can wait patiently for him to finish the work that he's doing. And this would apply to your life as well, not just to the world and the situations in the world, but to your own life. You can trust him to rule it well. The psalmist said this in Psalm 89, starting at verse 8, O Lord, God of hosts, who is like you, O mighty Lord? Your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the swelling sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You yourself crushed Rahab like one who is slain. You scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon shout for joy at your name. You have a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. Let's pray. Father, give us a yearning to be godly in our understanding. We know you, Lord, that makes us godly. We're weak, but we're the godly. What an incredible thing to be named among the godly. Because you, when we were lost, sent your Son to die in our place, sent the Holy Spirit to find us and bring us to faith, to make us your godly children. Oh, Lord, cause us not to fret, not to worry about the condition of the world or even our lives. You rule your creation well. We give you praise. We worship you. Increase our love for you, Lord, as we do so. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.